And now to the first in a new occasional series, Stories Then and Now, Tales of Contemporary Asian Australians. Willa Zen's story shuttles between Shanghai and Sydney, between the chaos of the Cultural Revolution and the fun of a mock Australian backyard wedding. But when her grandfather back in China takes Willa's romantic prospects into his own hands, her life takes a very interesting turn. Here's Willa Zen.
Rose, Rose, I love you with an aching heart. What is your future? Now we have to part. Standing on the jetty as the steamer moves away. Flower of Malaya, I cannot stay.
My father was born in 1954. The second child into a comfortable middle-class family in Shanghai. Chairman Mao's peasant soldiers had driven the ruling Kuomintang Nationalist Party out of the country 5 years earlier, and my father was born on the cusp of one of the most turbulent periods in modern Chinese history. His father had received a privileged university education and was a business administrator at a bank. The communist government saw it as a sign that he was comfortable with numbers, so ordered him to teach mathematics to new China's high school students. My father's mother kept her job as a bookkeeper, but her bourgeois background effectively meant there was a glass ceiling over her career. She couldn't join the Communist Party, and it was always party members who were promoted. This didn't bother my grandparents. They could just have easily been sent to jail or labour camp for their upper middle class background. They had three children. My father was the middle child. A class war was being waged outside. The family needed to look after each other, keep its mouth shut, and kowtow along with communist ideology. They did exactly that, and my father had a comparatively uneventful childhood. But at age 15, his childhood ended when Chairman Mao decided that the youth of New China that live in the cities needed to be taught the ways of the peasant class. He sent them to factory farms that were rapidly being built in China's rural areas. The farm that my father was sent to didn't even have a road when he got there. The pals looking on decided that my father would become a blacksmith, and that was how he spent the next 7 years of his life. Finally, Mao Zedong died and the Cultural Revolution came to an end. Deng Xiaoping reopened China's universities and Dad saw that as his ticket out. But first, he had to sit a nationwide exam, his first exam in over 7 years. Dad studied hard. He was one of only two people at his farm to pass the entrance exam that year. He wanted to enroll in accounting, but his mother felt that a three-year course was too long. He was already 23. And in her day, people were married by that age. So without informing her son, she changed Dad's application to hospitality management, a course my father had no interest in, but it was too late by the time he found out. This was Dad's single biggest regret in life. But if it hadn't happened, he wouldn't have met my mother. Dad was managing the restaurant of one of China's newly opened hotels for foreigners when his supervisor set him up on a blind date. She was a switchboard operator at a bicycle pedal factory. While my father's background was educated and middle class, Her family were farmers and labourers who've lived in the same part of Shanghai for generations. No one on her side of the family had ever gone to university. Dad liked her and so hid that part of her background from his parents. Mao Zedong's Cultural Revolution may have done away with the old class system, but old-fashioned class snobbery clung on. They got married in Shanghai exactly 1 year after their first date. At the wedding banquet, hosted by Dad's side, they went all out to impress the in-laws. Food rationing was still in place, so the best way to show off was to order so many dishes that the guests would need rice to fill up. Unfortunately, this gesture backfired. After the wedding, word came back to the family that Mum's country bumpkin relatives thought the groom was stingy because he didn't order something as basic as rice. Mum and Dad went to Beijing for their honeymoon. 9 months later, I was born. In the mid-1980s, China started opening up and it became possible for Chinese nationals to leave the country. Dad wanted to see the rest of the world. He'd studied English at university and heard the weather was nice down under, so he applied for a student visa.
Children, young girls were slaughtered as mercilessly as the many wounded soldiers from other units there. Anti-personnel carriers.
A few months after arriving, the Tiananmen Square massacre happened. Bob Hawke cried in Parliament and gave a reprieve to Chinese nationals like Dad to stay longer. So 2 years later, when I was seven, my father uprooted my mother and me to join him in Australia. I remember going to school, hearing girls brag about being a flower girl or a bridesmaid at weddings they attended on the weekend. Coming from an austere communist country, I couldn't imagine anything more glamorous. But we didn't get invited to any weddings here. During uni, my dad came home one day, all excited, and announced that one of our neighbours was now a civil marriage celebrant and hosting weddings in her backyard. I knew right away that I'd found my calling. So I enrolled in an online civil celebrant course. I got my friends Amanda and Gina to stage a mock wedding for my assessment, and I was qualified. My life should be fulfilled now, right? I've made up for my childhood that starved of romance and glamour by now attending loads of weddings. But ironically, whilst my life is dripping in other people's love stories, I have nothing to show for my own.
Someday he'll come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love, and when he comes my way.
My parents, ever so pragmatic, decided that time was running out. I got tired of their nagging. When my grandfather came to Australia for a visit, he hatched a plan with my father. He took a photo of me back to China, listed me on the books of a matchmaker, and started frequenting the infamous marriage market in Shanghai's People's Park. The odds of finding a match for me in China are very slim. Chinese men generally don't like women who are confident, independent, and highly educated. Miraculously, my grandfather did manage to find me a match. Last July, I flew to Shanghai to meet the man whom my grandfather approved to be my future husband. This is what happened. Grandfather picked me up from the airport. The first thing he did was shove a mobile phone in my face. On the other end, a young male voice answered. "Hi, this is Willa. I've just landed in China," I said, trying not to sound awkward. We arranged to meet up the following day. Then, when I arrived at my grandfather's apartment, the guy's mother rang. I spent half an hour getting an in-depth briefing on her son and their family. The next morning, she rang again. Her son had once told her that he didn't like girls who wear glasses, so she advised that I wear contact lenses for our meeting. I told my grandfather that I wasn't going to put in contact lenses. Then, tears started welling up in my grandfather's beady eyes. He looked so crestfallen. I couldn't break his heart, so I gave in. My grandfather fully took advantage of this opportunity by also getting me to change out of my shorts and thongs into a skirt and proper dress shoes. He chaperoned me to the meeting place, where he hid in a corner waiting for my mystery man to show up, because he hadn't seen him in the flesh before either. I'd previously seen a blurry photo of my prospective husband. He had a long, thinnish face, but when I met him for the first time, he'd put on quite a bit of weight. We walked to a restaurant for dinner. We spoke in Shanghainese about his job, my work, and the weather in Australia. It was all polite and bland conversation because we didn't have any cultural interests in common. 2 hours later, the meal was over. Back home, grandfather tried to talk him up, reminding me that this man was honest, thoughtful, honourable, and hardworking. The next morning, his mother called for a long debrief with my grandfather. My appearance and actions from the previous evening were discussed and analysed thoroughly. They read meaning into every detail, and infuriatingly, they viewed it all positively. We had another meeting. It was more politeness. I could see the positive qualities that his mother and my grandfather had been going on about, but they still seemed to think I was this dutiful, obedient, and virtuous girl. After 3 days, I couldn't stand it anymore. I rebelled. I went out drinking every night, stumbling home tipsy at 3 a.m., reeking of alcohol. I met up with my prospective husband one last time before I left China, but I could only squeeze in 1 hour in between engagements with my other friends. Later, he went home and told his mother that I was seeing other men on the side. I returned to Australia after 10 days and our emails fizzled out. We're back to square one. But this experience has taught me two things. First, you get the kind of love you settle for. And second, I need to take a stand and even fight for what I want. The truth is, I've been complacent about this marriage thing. Finding a husband isn't a problem I can delegate to my parents. Also, my parents have been looking for a partner for me in the wrong places. The alpha male guys I like don't participate in these schemes. They're confident and secure enough in their judgment to choose their own marriage partner. But if any girl wants to marry an obedient mummy's boy, who isn't too fussy and happy with whatever he can get, then an arranged marriage scheme would be perfect. I'll be all right. Rejection is simply God's way of protection.
Try to do my best to make him stay.
Grace Knight singing The Man I Love from the ABC TV series Come In Spinner. It's one of Willa's favourite songs. And you can see photos of Willa Zen and her family on the 360 Documentaries website. Willa's story is from the series Stories Then and Now. It was produced by Annette Shunwar and William Yang for Performance 4A and adapted for 360 Documentaries by Louis Mitchell and Claudia Taranto. Next week, as the shops fill up with roses and heart-shaped chocolates, we have some tales of love and love lost. There's a portrait of a woman looking for a lover who may only exist in her imagination. It's a documentary fantasy about her unrealistic romantic demands and online dating. And also a story from the Middle East of love across borders. An Israeli and a Palestinian conduct their romance through the checkpoints and prejudice of both their cultures. I'm Kirsty Melville. Thanks for listening. Do join me again next week for 360 Documentaries here on RN. See you then.